It's a little known fact that Cheerscast is a proud member of the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
You're engaged right now in a psychological battle with your will. Now, you've got to bring to the foreground every weapon available. Promise yourself that if you smoke one more cigarette, you'll do the most disgusting, repulsive thing you can imagine.
Dr. Crane, I can't even imagine. Sam Malone, if I smoke another cigarette, I'll go to bed with you. You wanna go where everybody knows your name.
Hello and welcome back to Cheerscast, the podcast where everybody knows your name. I'm your host, Ryan Daly, and joining me for the first time, it's a brand new guest. Please welcome Eric Elias. How are you doing?
I'm just dandy. My amalgamator valve is switched on and I'm ready to go.
when he says that, I'm like, has Cliff ever looked in a refrigerator? What the heck is he talking about?
Yeah, I just, whenever he goes on those tangents of just naming anything that comes to his brain, I just crack up. I love it.
Yeah. Well, Eric, as I mentioned, it's your first time on Cheerscast, so you get the same origin story that all my new guests get. How and when did you start watching the show, and what made you a fan of it? How did you like it so much?
So I was born in 84, so I wasn't alive really when it started, but I caught it probably when I was about five. So I actually really caught it with the Rebecca years. And I've always been drawn to that kind of comedy for some reason. Like Carlin was like a very early influence, and how comedians use the words and English language and just the double entendres and all that stuff. And I thought Cheers just was so good at that. One, like probably the first show that was really, really good at that that I watched. And I was just immediately drawn to it. I remember being like 10 years old, staying up late to watch the fine finale. And I have a little memory, like my mother used to watch it and leave it on the background and I would catch it. And I think that's how I first caught it. But even at the age of five, it just drew me in. And the character that drew me in was Woody.
Oh, nice.
So I guess because he's just so young and his wit and just that really caught me. But then Frasier became my number one. I loved Frasier. And the crazy thing is I didn't even watch Frasier, the show, even though I loved Frasier. And then years ago, I finally went back and watched the entire series. And then I was like, okay, I don't know why I didn't watch this.
it's a different animal, but it's the same species. Yeah, it's definitely.
Yeah, I think it's because there was two Frasiers. And I think, and then finding the balance between Niles and him. And then after a few seasons, I was like, okay, I get it now. I get it.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. Well, I'm thankful that you agreed to be on this episode. This might seem like you have to take a sacrifice, like it's your first time. Well, your first time on the show, you have to get a Cliff episode. That seems like kind of a dubious honor, like a rite of passage for the guests.
It's okay. I tend to like Cliff episodes, believe it or not. Some of my favorite episodes actually are Cliff-centric episodes.
Everyone's so wow, they knocked one out. Yeah. This one, folks, we are at season 6, episode 11, My Fair Claven. This one is written by Fief Sutton, directed by Jim Burrows, and the original air date was Thursday, December 10th, 1987. Cliff comes in with a major announcement. He is moving out of Norm's house into a condo of his own. He's excited to show Norm and Woody the new digs, but not excited to show them Sally, the new woman he's been dating. Cliff says that Sally prefers to stay inside with Cliff, but the truth is she would love to go out of the condo and meet his friends at Cheers. It's actually Cliff who is ashamed of Sally's plain looks and nervous that she would embarrass him at the bar. Taking Rebecca's idea to give Sally a makeover from one of her glamour magazines, Cliff is startled by the transformation and eager to bring his sexy new girlfriend to Cheers. Unfortunately, Sally may be out of Cliff's league now as every guy in the bar tries to hit on her. Cliff wants to change things back to the way they were, but Sally refuses, saying that she's happy with how she looks, and if Cliff wants to see her, he needs to get comfortable with it too. Meanwhile, Rebecca has started smoking from stress. Desperate to quit, she agrees to do the most depraved and humiliating thing she can imagine. If Sam catches her smoking a cigarette at Cheers, she will go to bed with him. He tries sneaking up on her several times, finally catching her with a cigarette in a moment of weakness. Sammy feels victorious until Rebecca concedes to sleep with him as arranged, with all of the enthusiasm of a death row inmate walking the long mile. Sam breaks the deal, saying that he won't sleep with her if she's not really into it. An honorable sacrifice that he almost immediately regrets. Oh, big picture. Overall, what did you think about this episode?
I actually did like this episode. I feel like a lot of people don't. I looked up some reviews, and this, I think out of the 275 episodes, this always comes up in like the 200s, like early 200s. And I'm like, I mean, I get it. But like I said, I like cliff episodes, and it's not the greatest, but I did overall enjoy it.
Yeah, I think for one thing, I think Cliff doesn't come off nearly as obnoxious in this one as he does in some of his episodes. In part, I don't think like the stakes are as high for him, considering, and this is one of those episodes where the plot centers around kind of an ugly duckling or plain Jane type of figure. And I never know how to feel about these episodes, because I'm like, is it sort of be like body shaming or mocking the physical appearance of somebody about this character? But that is essentially what the whole plot is hinging on, is the idea that, you know, when she doesn't wear makeup, she's very plain, and Cliff feels like he can control the relationship that way, and he can be kind of the dominant present one, and he's the one in the driver's seat. But if he wants to show her off and impress people, then he's got to make her look like somebody that's out of his league. The problem is then he loses all control in the relationship.
Yeah, between that and then Sam plotline, both those two in the same episode, I got kind of cringy at him a little bit. She just changes her hair, puts on some makeup, and he runs outside and says, "I've got a fox." Like, Cliff, she's sitting on the couch watching Jeopardy with you and enjoying it. Take the W.
Like, really. Exactly.
Like, I just don't. But Cliff always has to self-sabotage and think he deserves more than he does. But
that is very much the nature of Cliff, and especially in this episode, and then we'll come back to that one. From the teaser, I really like this teaser. We get a pair of identical twins come in for a beer, and they're like, "Hey, can we have a beer?" And he's like, "Yeah, I'll need some ID." And he checks the first one, and then he has to check the brother's ID too, and that's when it's like, "Oh, what
yeah." Love that, and I always love that Cheers does kind of use the same joke sometimes, but the second one they'll put a spin on it. Cause like the first episode, the pilot episode, Sam has he checks the kid's ID. And now Woody's checking their ID, and it's a different spin on the joke. So I did enjoy that. And then what happens after?
Yeah. So then Carla stops them. She's like, curious as the mother of mother to be of a pair of twins. She's like, I don't care if they like dress like or impersonate each other, drive their parents or their teachers crazy. Of course, Carla being Carla, what she's really worried about is that the boys will have ESP and communicate evil secret thoughts that she can't hear. And you just see these two guys just looking at her in silence. And she's like, "Well, what do you think?" And one of them just goes, "Oh, we're discussing it." And the color just drains from Carla. She's like, "Oh God," and she has to like get. She can't get out of there fast enough, and it's.
Yeah. I always wonder, because twins. Every twin that I know, do they say they have this secret language that they just know between each other? And it's just it's a little scary. But that was hilarious. I love that.
Yeah. So after the credits, Cliff walks in and he's like, "I've got a major announcement to make." Carla's like, "Nope, you'd be a dorky woman too." So but he says that he bought a new condo in this complex full of attractive single people. Norm, of course, is upset that Cliff is moving out. But you'd think, like, why would he be? But this leaves Norm with the task of having to take care of his wife. He's like, "Who's gonna do the dinner? Who's like gonna talk to her?" And he's like, all of these things that Cliffy has started doing just as like a surrogate man in the house to take care of Vera. And he's like, and Norman, Cliff is like, "Sorry, Norm, you're going to have to take care of those things yourself." He's like, no, not me. Maybe I can hire some high school kid.
And can we talk about Norm's hair?
Oh, it's out of control.
Oh, my God. This episode, just more than that, like, it's just so out of control.
Yeah,
it just like, looks like a chia pet.
Yeah, it's like the volume, it's like it's too heavy for it to grow up into like a proper like afro. Yeah. So instead of just going out the sides, and it's nuts.
Yeah, it's crazy. Did you actually see George Wendt was on The Masked Singer?
I didn't, no.
He was actually on The Masked Singer a couple weeks ago. He was revealed.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I was very surprised to see him on there.
How did it go?
He did a good job. He didn't move, I guess at his age, he couldn't really move much. And then when he was revealed, it didn't look like he was that happy to be there, but he did good. It was great to actually see him like still want to be out there.
That's cool. And then storming through the door just like Cliff did, now we get Rebecca, and she has a cigarette, and she's like, did everybody just see that? And yes, she makes this grand announcement that she's started smoking, and it's because of all the stress in her life, and she doesn't want people complaining about it or, you know, like, making all the disparaging comments about cigarettes.
And what did you say, Woody's coffin like, nails?
Coffin nails.
I've never heard the phrase coffin nails.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard
that phrase before. Yeah.
Sam, of course, then says, you know, he thinks that she's smoking because of all of her pent-up sexual feelings. And he's like, I should have done something about this a long time ago. Yeah, he encourages her. How does he say? He encourages her to enroll in his seminar on curing addictions and stuff like that. Of course, Woody's like, I'd like to know more about that.
He's like, is that the typical 2 weeks and it's 2 day follow-up?
Yeah, exactly. So we cut away and we get a new set. We're now at Cliffy's condo, which they will actually come back to a couple of times throughout the series. But this is our first time seeing there. He's just moved in, and we'll find some things. He's got some interesting wall art adorning
the postmaster general that he has up, I believe, was there. That was actually the postmaster general when they filmed it, but he was no longer the postmaster general when they aired it.
Oh, wow.
Really? Yeah, so I thought that was pretty funny.
That's good, yeah. But it does seem like, just from like the sound effects, it sounds like it is actually like a party central condo, and like there's like some party going on like in the pool below and everything.
Yeah, he's ready to swing.
Yeah, and he's got like nice casual clothes. He's out of the male outfit and everything. And yeah, Norm and Woody come over, and Norm brings the gift of a six pack, a five pack. and I'm mentioning this right now. I'll tip this off. That the beer that he saves for himself does not count for Norm's tab because it is not a Cheers beer.
Yes, disclaimer.
Cliff gives them the tour, which includes the fridge, which is not working because of the deer regulator valve or something.
That's the amalgamator valve.
Which Woody's like, did you just set this part to cold? He flips the switch.
Oh, yeah. Do you want a stopgap approach?
Yeah. like the whole thing, and Cliff tells him to look out the window, and when the summertime comes along and all the girls roll by in their French cut bikinis, he's like, where do you think he'll be? And I was like, standing right here with a pair of binoculars.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And this entire scene is actually, I think, my favorite part of the episode. And it was just like one after the other. And I thought, and like, my home run is actually in this scene.
Oh, nice.
I will tease that.
All right, we'll come back. Well, because then, like, once like he finds out what time it is, Cliffy starts to shoo them away because he's got company coming over. And he's like, yeah, I got somebody soft and sweet with a voice like a nightingale. And Woody has a line for that, which might be the home run. So I'll say that one. But, yeah, he says that Sally, you know, wouldn't want to meet them, and she doesn't want to go to Cheers. She's just like staying in with him, like makes him her love hostage. And again, Cliffy, like, Woody and Norm are the least judgmental people in the world. Like, like if they met this girl, they would not have a problem with her. They would not think any less of Cliff. Yeah, this is like, all in Cliff's head.
The fact that you have a woman willing to come over your house, they're going to be like, wow.
Yeah.
But of course, Cliff, that's what he has to do.
Yeah. So then Cliff moves around. He takes some cologne out, spurts it, and then just like kind of like shakes it and dumps it like in the threshold by the bathroom door. Yeah. So then
all over the floor.
Yeah. So Sally comes in. She's employee of the month at Yarn Barn.
Congratulations.
Yeah, yeah, it was a good starting way to introduce her.
Wait, she tied.
Oh, shit. Yeah. And she's all for going out to Cheers and going out to do something. But, you know, Cliff kind of makes up this excuse that he's out there walking the streets every day, at the end of the day, he just wants to come home and settle. And as he kind of suggests to get his tensions relieved, if you know what I mean. And then they kind of dance around this sort of flirtation like it might be sexual. And he's like, let's meet over at the couch. She's like, do you have, you know, the thing? And it's like, oh, yeah, I got it. And then what does he pull out of the drawer? Oh, it's the remote control. And they turn on Jeopardy. And they just sit there quietly in comfort in the dark watching Jeopardy. And it's a very sweet moment. I mean, just for Cliff and for this girl. Yeah, it's like, of course. This
like, you want to be happy for him. And you want to be like, hey, this is going to be great. I know you're going to destroy it, but I want to be happy for you right now.
Yeah, exactly. Right. For the moment, this is great. Yeah, you definitely will cause the ruin of this because you can't help yourself, Cliff.
And Karen, who replaced Sally, apparently her father was European nobility. I looked her up because she didn't really have much.
She's only got like six credits on the actress's name is Karen Akers. She's only got like six credits on IMDb, better known as a theatrical stage performer. She won a Tony Award for Best Actress.
Yeah, that's what I saw too. I saw that she won a Tony Award. Yeah, and then I went and I saw that her father was European nobility. Like he was like going to be like a prince or king or something, and then he denounced it just to come to America.
Wow. Yeah. She does. I mean, they do what they can to kind of like lull down her features and everything and like kind of present her. But she is a very like striking woman. She's very tall, very thin, like it has a kind of a sharp angular jaw muscles and everything like that. She has a striking look. And when the second half, when they put the makeup on her, it's like, yeah, she looks great. So they do what they can to tone her down in the first scene.
Yeah. I always find it weird when they do those, like the movie, She's All That.
It's
like, I was like, she was cute as hell before they did the makeup. I'm like I don't understand this. Like, but she was. I thought she was fine before, but you know, that's they do that a lot. That trope back then, especially.
Back at the bar, Rebecca went to this anti-smoking clinic, looking at these ugly pictures, including like a cigarette butt stamped out on an egg yolk. And Norm was like, "That made you gonna quit smoking?" She's like, "No, but I think it put me off eggs for good." So Carla is trying to torment Rebecca with a fresh pack of cigarettes. And Frasier is trying to stop her. He's like, we really should be offering her our support and our friendship at this time. Rebecca snaps at Frasier. So he just throws a pack of cigarettes at her. He's like, well, you know. And this is when Rebecca comes out. She says, you know, she kind of comes to him with this idea of like, if she smokes again, she has to do the most disgusting, depraved thing that she can imagine. And that's where she just kind of glances over and sees Sam. And she walks over and she tells him, she's like, if you catch me smoking, I will go to bed with him. And he just drops this box of glasses that he's been carrying.
There's something about that box of glass. So in the beginning of the episode, that door by the stairway to Melville's, I see Frasier going in there in the beginning of the episode. And I'm like, why is he going in there? And then later in the episode, you see Sam going in there. And then after that is when he comes in with that box. And I know that they say that's the wine cellar, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Or I think they call it the broom closet once too, I think.
Interchangeable.
So, but I'm like, we see Frasier go down there, and then Sam goes down there, and then he comes up with that box. So I was like, why was Frasier going down? It just seemed weird to me.
What, even putting a jacket back there, like using it like a normal closet? But why would he?
He just opened the door and walked in. It's like right in the beginning of the episode.
Weird. I didn't even notice that. Anyway, so after that, Rebecca storms back to the pool room, and she like yanks the plug out of the cigarette machine dispenser and everything. She's like, sorry, this is on the fritz so that nobody can get any smokes so that she can't buy any herself. And Cliff stops her and he's like, hey, can I get your advice? And she's like, yeah, what do you need? And he's like, so I met this girl. And then there's just this moment of silence. She's like, and? He's like, oh, people usually stop me at that point.
It's almost my home run.
I love that too. Mine too.
That was so great.
That was one of my runners up.
Yeah.
So she's like, well, you know, maybe just give her one of those those home makeover tips, like in the middle of on those magazines. And he's like, oh yeah, that's a good idea. She's like, well, then what do you need me for? She kind of like snaps at the clip. She's like, I'm sorry. She's like, by the way, if you ever see me with a cigarette in my mouth, would you do me a favor? He's like, yeah, sure. What do you need? He's like, kill Sam.
So I have a question for you. If let's say you have a really bad habit right now, and somebody said what would be your disgusting or terrible thing that you would have to do to get rid of it? Like, what would be the one thing you would not want to do?
I don't know. Might be too revealing or personal. Trying to think.
Like for me, it would be jumping out of an airplane.
Oh, okay.
Like if somebody said. If I said, if I do this again, I'll jump out of an airplane. I would never do that. Because there's no way I am jumping out of an airplane. Ever.
That's kind of a thrill that I've always considered doing. I'm trying to think what would
be.
Yeah,
no, I could never do that.
What would be one of those things that I would never want to do? I don't know. Certainly the list was probably a lot longer years ago when I was younger and crazier. And now that, who knows? I'm not sure. So back at Cliffy's place. Sally's doing the makeover kit from the bathroom. When she comes out, Cliff is blown away by her, and that's when he steps outside of the apartment onto the porch. And he's like, I got a fox. When he brings her back to the bar, he's like, "Hey guys, blah blah blah, boom!" Huh?
That's another cousin.
Yeah. And then this one. I think this one probably is my home run, but what he's like, she's what guys back down at the farm where I come from call ethereal. And Fraser's like, Woody, where is this farm?
I think my favorite, like, two characters that interact throughout the entire series is Fraser and Woody. Fraser and Woody interaction just... I just can't get enough of them.
They're so hard to beat. Yeah.
His utter disgust... whenever he has to like just look at Woody after he says something and just Kelsey Grammer was just he just so sold it so well.
The other part about the recurring fascination that they have with Hanover and more Woody reveals about his hometown, they're like this growing skepticism and like speculation, like what the heck is this place? Like is this a real place? Like what happened? So Carla thinks that Cliff is extorting or blackmailing this poor woman, and Fraser, she's like, why else would she be dating you? And Fraser's like, oh, I can think of any number of reasons why a woman might behave that way. But don't forget, I'm a psychiatrist.
So, that was perfect, too.
Yeah. So we actually find that even Sam is flirting with Sally until he finds out that she's with Cliff. And he's like, really? And they're like, yeah, yeah. And Sam has to check with Norman Fraser for confirmation. And he kind of is like, is she a little? And kind of like shakes his hand, making like this crazy gesture. And Fraser's like, we think so. But Sam warns Cliff that she's a major looker now and people will be all over her. And that's when she's talking to Jeff from their condo, and he recognizes Cliff as the guy with the binoculars.
The binoculars, calling back to that.
Yes, that's
he's
perfect.
Already been there with the binoculars.
Yes, I know, that's so good. And Jeff takes Sally out for a drive in his new Porsche Turbo. Rebecca is in the bathroom, and Sam is trying to prove that she smokes. So he asks, when this other woman comes out of the bathroom, he asks her what Rebecca was doing in their room. And she like takes a swing at him, and he's like Sam is following and harassing this woman, just saying he's trying to go to bed with her, and the woman takes another swing.
I love how they just like this. They just removed all of Sam the first five seasons and just like, completely pull him off the rails, like what he's gonna like, how he sillier he gets as the seasons go by, but like, in what world did he think that was gonna go off?
We get one of those classic moments, and this was used in the 200th episode spectacular highlight reel. They drew attention to this, the moment when Sam like kicks open the door to the office and trying to catch Rebecca, and she's just sitting there. Still, like at her desk, not smoking, doesn't appear to be doing anything. And he's like, oh, you know, my fault, like I'm in the wrong room. And he leaves. And Kirstie Alley flips the cigarette like out of her mouth to reveal, yeah, that she had this lit cigarette in her mouth the the entire time, like that she turned over so that butt was facing the other way. And impressive.
I really want to know if somebody said, we have this idea, and then try to teach her to do it, or did she say, oh, I know how to do this trick.
From the sound of they were talking to one of the writers in that 200th episode, it sounded like it might have been Kirstie Alley's thing. Like,
yeah, she I would knew believe
how
it.
To do it, and she brought that to them, and they're like, "Wow, this is a cool trick. We got to find a way of employing this." So.
Yeah, and she did it so perfectly. Like, I don't know, it was just really impressive.
But her little moment of victory is short-lived because Sam kicks the door open again and catches her, and he's like so happy. He's like lying down on the couch, and he's like, yeah, I just can't get over like how he's finally won. And she's like, okay, we'll go to my place. And then she's like, even though my smoking has nothing to do with sexual frustration, I made a pact and I must suffer the horrible consequences. And he's like, wait, you don't really want to do this, do you? And of course, she's just like the passive aggressiveness of this whole moment and everything. And he's like, look, and Sam, of course, is, you know, trying to be, you know, take the high road and be like, hey, I have some dignity. I'm not going to do this unless you want to do it. And
yeah, she always knows how to manipulate Sam.
She is. Like, no,
she always knew how to do that.
It's one of the saving graces when you have him being so obnoxiously like just like womanizing and like just like this type of like workplace sexual harassment that is just so beyond the pale. The fact that she can wind him around her finger so easily is kind of the saving grace. Cliff back in the pool room talks to Sally again. We get kind of this last moment, and she admits, you know, he kind of says he wants it to go back to the way it was when she was kind of plain, unattractive, just willing to stay on the couch and watch Jeopardy. And she says, no way, I'm not going back. I like the way I look in makeup, and I'm happy with who I am. She did her next line, wait till they see me at the yarn barn. I love that callback.
Yeah, that was a good one. I like that. I fought back with that one. I think that was one of my runner-ups too, because I like the callback, and the way she said it was very good too.
Yeah. And she finally, she like, you know, like they kind of like walk out together, but yeah, the implication is like she's gonna have to, or Cliff will have to get comfortable, you know, dating a woman who can get more men than he is. So he's gonna have to start doing more for it. And that's, I mean, as far as Cliff goes, it's a decent happy ending for him.
Yeah, I think in the end it ended fine, but we're never going to see her again. But
right,
well, he'll take that little W at the end there.
And just like our last little image of Sam talking to some, or just standing by a woman, she's just like casually smoking and trying to like, you know, says something, and she just blows the smoke right in his face.
Yeah, just like Rebecca did in the first one.
Yeah.
So one of my things that I do usually is I look up name meanings, and I thought it was very funny. I looked up the last name Clavin and what it means.
Okay.
And it could either mean prince ruler or mangy creature leper. So I was like, somewhere in the middle, I guess, Cliff.
I'm sure he would think one and the rest of the cast think the other,
Yeah.
It sounds like something Ma Clavin would have taught him.
Probably. Name. She probably would have said she was named after the Mangy Creature Leper. I like Cliff. Cliff was one of my top three favorite characters. Woody, Frasier, and Cliff were my three favorite characters. I did not like Sam and Norm. I always thought Norm was, I mean, he always had great one-liners.
Mm-hmm.
He gets a lot of good one-liners, but I don't know, as a character, I thought he was just mean when I was a kid. So I just hated him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But then as I grew up, I kind of started to like him again, but I did not like Norm when I was young for some reason. And I had a huge crush on Lilith.
Okay. Sure. Yeah.
I had a huge crush on Lilith. And my mom was like, not Rebecca. I'm like, no, Lilith.
Yeah.
I'm like, she was amazing. Every time she was in an episode, it was like I was glued to it.
Nice. All right. That was My Fair Clavin. For Norm's tab, again, not counting the one that he had in Cliff's condo, he had 4 beers this episode, which brings him up to 523 for the series.
Nice.
For Employee of the Week, this was a Cliff-centric episode, and I think Cliff did a good job on this one, so I gave it to Cliff easily.
Yeah, I think it was pretty easily Cliff, because, I mean, the side plot of the Sam and Diane thing, Diane, Rebecca.
Sam and Rebecca.
I didn't really think they hit it out the park there, but Cliff, it was all Cliff.
Yeah, so that was good. For the home run, again, I think it's... My number one is when Woody's like, she's with the guys down on the farm where I grew up, called Ethereal. And Frasier going, Woody, where is this farm?
Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah. My home run actually was when I feel like Norm had like a back-to-back-to-back one-liners when they were Cliff was giving the tour of the condo. Mm-hmm. And when Cliff says, oh, I almost forgot the kitchen. And then Norm goes, it looks like the building did too. I don't know why that had me dying. Yeah. Even every time I could watch this episode every single time, and for some reason that line will always get me. It would always get me.
The other one I liked was Sam just chasing the poor woman out of the bathroom.
that was good too.
Describe what was going on there. So, there was another one. I don't know. Did you have the one about the busboy from Melville's? Or?
Oh yes, I had that too. Yeah. I enjoyed that too because of. That's going to come back later on.
Yeah.
I think is this the first time they mention it?
I think by name, yeah. Because Cliff says, I got somebody soft and sweet with a voice like a nightingale coming over. And Woody's like, oh, the busboy from Melville? He's like,
yeah.
And he's like, no, it's not Reuben. It's like,
yeah. that's going to come up in a later episode, which is a very funny episode.
Mm-hmm.
Come back for that one.
Yeah. And the Cliff says that Sally likes to make him guess he's her love hostage. And Norma's like, well, that's definitely something I don't want to see.
that whole scene in there, then him taking the beer, then the builder line, like that whole scene, I thought had good one-liners in there.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun with that one.
Yeah, I didn't think Carla's one-liners hit this episode.
Not as much.
Episode, but I did enjoy that Cliff had two very good comebacks to her, and just the way he said them.
He's actually slow.
And like, shouldn't you be out in a field somewhere?
Like squatting in a field.
Yeah, squatting in a field somewhere. And then the other one, I think, was and whatever you are, Carla. Like, he just said it so nonchalantly and easy. I'm like, good, Cliff.
Yeah. All right. Well, Eric, thank you so much for being my guest on this episode. This was a lot of fun. I'm definitely going to have you back again in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. I am here whenever you want me.
Yeah, we'll definitely get you back. And thanks to all of you out there who listen to Cheerscast and support the show by liking and sharing on social media and leaving comments on the website fireandwaterpodcast.com. You can also support the Fire and Water Podcast Network on Patreon. This show is patronized by the Right On Network and Jeff and Rick Presents Unpacking the Power of Power Pack. Go to patreon.com/FW Podcasts to support your favorite show on the Fire and Water Network. Thanks everyone for listening, and until next time, we're closed.
So, you guys ready for the grand tour?
Ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Right here, we have the living room.
Mm-hmm.
Right over here is the bedroom.
Oh, gee. Slow down. Let me catch my breath here.
Oh, well, almost forgot the kitchen.
Yeah, I think the builder did, too, you know? Let me put these beers on ice here.
Yeah, good idea.
It's not too cold in here, buddy.
Oh, yeah, I noticed that, Noemi. I mean, I think it's the amalgamator valve. I've been meaning to strip it down, check out the engine, you know. I think I'd better put some more Freon in the regulator, too.
Or else you could just turn this little dial to cold.
Oh, yeah, if you want to take a stopgap approach.